Wherever would we be without the man Christ Jesus? But wherever would we be without the Father of Christ Jesus who sent him? What a great sacrifice. Hallelujah. I often, you know, I've been blessed. I've been so blessed in my life. God has revealed himself to me as my Father. And we call him Father. The Bible calls him Father. And many of us pray at Father and Father. But I have a real revelation of God as my Father. An actual living relationship with my Father. I don't call him Dad, as some do. I call him Father. Because I have a certain amount of respect and reverence for Jehovah. Bless his wonderful name. It was the sacrifice of the Father sending the Son that speaks to me in a particular way. We know Jesus came and Jesus was the Lamb, the sacrifice. And he died for all men, all shapes and sizes, all ladies, all shapes and sizes. All colors, all creeds. He died for every single one. But Father sent him. What a sacrifice. There are many parents in here who will understand how it would be impossible for us to sacrifice one of our own children on behalf of someone else. But my Father was willing to do it. What a precious Father. For those who don't know God as Father, get that revelation. Because it will hold you tight, it will hold you steadfastly, it will see you through any situation. Father will never let you down. Father will never turn his back on you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. These are all scriptural promises. My Father will always be there for me, no matter what. So get the revelation of Father in your life. It's precious. And I want to give you, for little one here, Rebecca, just to add my two penny worth, because children are quite precious in my life right now. Rebecca, sweetheart, I just give you a promise from your Father in heaven, from Thessalonians, and it says, God is faithful, and he will keep and he will protect you from the evil one. And I give you that promise for your life, that your Father in heaven will protect you from the evil one. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. God is so good. It is so appropriate that we had a dedication this morning, because before we came, in fact, a couple of days ago, when I was asking the Lord, what shall I say to this church? He gave me some scripture. If you turn to Isaiah, be in Isaiah 44, so that we're all ready to go. Isaiah 44. I really believe that last night at the inauguration, what a strange word that is, of your new pastor, that something new was birthed. I really just believe, like, a new church was birthed, and today we had a dedication of a new and a fresh new young life. And what I want to say to you this morning, I believe, is prophetic for you as a church. And I'm going to speak it as a prophetic word to you as a church, as a new and living church. So we'll go to verse 24, please. Isaiah 44, verse 24. I always like to start when I speak by magnifying God, because to me he's so big. He's so big. Listen to this. This is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer. Well, that's a statement for a start. My Redeemer. Do you know what it is to be redeemed? It's to be bought and paid for. That's tonight's message. Who formed you in the womb. You see, once we were all like this, it doesn't seem, now he's 6'3", to think that once upon a time, he was a little bitty dot. But that's gone. With God, all things are possible. Please, Lord, don't let her grow to 6'3". Praise you, Lord. He knew us all in the womb. Dr. Calcott so eloquently gave us that scripture. My God knew me. He formed me. I think he did a pretty good job. Can you say the same? Of yourself, I mean, not of me. God doesn't make mistakes, you know. Amen. He doesn't make mistakes. When God called you out of darkness into the kingdom of light, he didn't make a mistake. When God chose you, he didn't make a mistake. He knew exactly what he was doing. I am the Lord who has made all things. This is our magnificent God, who alone stretched out the heavens. You know, there was no one there to help him. No one there capable. My God alone stretched out the heavens. My God's awesome. Who spread out the earth, he says, by myself. Who foils the signs of false prophets and makes fools of diviners. You know, that's a really appropriate word for today. There was a program on TV last night about diviners following ley lines and big stones and all kinds of weird and wonderful stuff. My God makes fools of idols and diviners and all those so-called magicians. My God's greater than all of them. He overthrows the learning of the wise. Big bang. Bye bye. Primordial soup. Well, we used to get that in school for dinner, but I don't know about anything else. It's much easier to believe the Bible's version of creation than it is to believe the Big Bang. I don't know what the problem is for these fellows, but you see, their intellect gets in the way. That's why God chooses the foolish things and people to confound the wise. Because anyone who was wise listening to what I say would think I was an idiot. But I'm a fool for Christ. Amen. My God overthrows the learning of the wise and turns it into nonsense. Praise God. He carries out the words of his servants and fulfills the predictions of his messengers. This morning, this is important for us. Today I'm a messenger. Just turn over, go to chapter 45 and let's start at verse 2. And Jamie will, Jamie will appreciate this. This is the Lord's promise to this church. He says, I will go before you. When the Lord goes before you, he makes a way. You see, nothing can stand before the Lord. When he goes, when his big foot tramps down on something, it moves out the way. When he goes before you, he makes a way. Just like there's a channel down between these chairs. You see, someone laid the chairs out and made a way for me to walk all the way down there. There are no obstructions. There are no little trip wires and things. I can walk down here as far as I like. So God is saying to you as a church, I'm going before you. And I will level the mountains. Well, I think this church has seen a few mountains in its lifetime. Most churches have. But from now on, there will be no mountains. Because God has gone before you. And he's flattened them all out. You will walk on level paths. I will break down gates of bronze. Gates of bronze represents strong gates. Strongholds. God will smash through the gates of bronze. He will break strongholds that you may come in contact with. And he will cut through bars of iron. Even seemingly immovable objects will move before you. Like mountains cast into the sea, God will cut through every immovable object. Verse 3, he says this, I will give you the treasures of darkness. I will give you the treasures of darkness. Riches stored in secret places. So that you may know that I am the Lord. The God of Emmanuel Church who summons you by name. I really believe, friends, with all my heart and all the spirit that God has given me, that God is going to open for you prosperity. He's going to provide for your every need. Not your greed, but your need. You got it? Every financial need. I believe God is going to pour upon you prosperity. And it will come from places that you don't expect. I believe he literally will give you the treasures of darkness that are stored up in secret places. There must be tons of money stored up in secret places by evil men. Drugs dealers and evil men. There must be mountains of it. I believe God is going to release the treasures of darkness into this church. So that you will know that he is the Lord. But the treasures of darkness are not just limited to money. Once upon a time, we were all in darkness. That's right. God came and rescued us out of darkness. I love the way that it says rescued, because to mount a rescue mission, you have to go and get. He mounted a rescue mission, and he came into darkness, and he got us, and he brought us out, and he brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. He brought us from darkness into light. And in God's eyes, we are a treasure. Do you follow my drift? I believe God's going to outpour salvation. I believe the best treasure of darkness is people. That Satan has got hidden and bound and stored away. I believe God is going to release people from darkness like a treasure, like the treasure that they all are. And he's going to swell your ranks. I really believe that God is going to cause this church to grow and to become a church of significance in this place. I believe it. I give it to you as a word from the Lord that this will happen. The Lord says, I summon you by name and bestow on you a title of honor. I believe with all my heart that God will show you favor in this neighborhood. That people will look to you. It's not unheard of for churches to have a place of honor in communities. The first century church had just such a place. You see, when people see God manifested, they respond, and most of them respond favorably, because most of them are looking for something. They're looking in the wrong places, but they're looking for something. When we, as a church, reveal our God to them, they will respond, and they will give you a place of honor. The Lord says, I am the Lord. There is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you. And I believe now that this church needs a dose of God's strength. I believe you need now the power of the Lord to come and strengthen you and fill you and enable you for the task that lies ahead. I suppose most churches need strengthening, but I believe this is for you this morning personally. There is no other God, and he will strengthen you. So that from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, men may know there is none besides the Lord. There is a purpose for our being here. There's a plan for our being here. Our job is to tell them out there that God is mighty, that he's awesome, that he's real, that he's relevant, that he's not some insignificant thing worshipped from a distance by people who appear not even to believe in him. But our God is vibrant and alive, and he is now. And he's relevant to us now. They need to know. The ones out there, they're lost. They need to know that God is relevant to their lives. And not some archaic tradition. God is alive. God is alive.
Yes.
He's vibrant.
Yes.
He is life. He is life. They need to know. How are they going to find out? Not by watching the TV, that's for certain. How are they going to find out? They're going to see it in you. How you reveal it, how you show it, is more important than how you say it. You know, evangelism is your way of life. Live evangelism. Francis of Assisi used to tell his monks, he says, go out and preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. That's true. Go out there, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Live the godly Christian life, and people will see it. People will see that you've got something they haven't got. Because believe me, you've got something they haven't got. I think they probably know it better than most. I will strengthen you, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, men may know that there is none besides the Lord. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Praise you, Lord. The Lord is going to give you the treasures of darkness. The Lord is going to bring on you strength and prosperity to enable you to fulfill the task. The Lord is going to bring in here converts. The Lord is going to bring salvation. Let me just close with this one last verse. And it's back in 44. And it's verse 23. Sing for joy, O heavens. For the Lord has done this. You see, he's already done it. Not waiting for me to say it. He's already done it. Sing for joy, church. Sing for joy. Let the world see that we're full of joy. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life in all its fullness. Let them see a full life. That's what they want. If you show it to them, they'll jump in with both feet. Let them see joy. Be a joyful church. Be like a church full of scousers. Be full of fun. Sing for joy, O heavens, for the Lord has done this. Shout aloud, O earth beneath. How often do we shout? There's lots of shouting in the Bible. Lots of it. God is worthy of a good shout. Every once in a while. Don't be afraid to shout. Don't let silence grip you. Don't be a quiet, polite church. Be a victorious, loud, noisy bunch. That's the way that was in the Old Testament. And they had something to shout about. They let the world know. The whole nation came together, and boy, they let the world know. Burst into song, you mountains, you forests and all the trees. For the Lord has redeemed Emmanuel Church. He displays his glory in Droitwich. The Lord has redeemed Emmanuel Church. He displays his glory in Droitwich. Well, and Worcester and Evesham and all the other places, but we won't miss Droitwich out. Today is a new day in a new church with new pastors, pastors' wives and new babies. Seize the moment. Seize it with both hands. Lord God is with you. With everything that he has, he is with you. This is your time. So be encouraged. Be free in the Lord. Be free and liberated in the Lord, especially in your praise and your worship. Let it rip, as we used to say. Let it rip. No matter how loud you sing or play your instruments, he will always be louder than you. It's true. Just enjoy yourselves. Be free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Be at liberty. He won't mind. I can promise you, he won't mind. He's 6'3" and he doesn't mind. Be free. Be free. Be at liberty.